Jeremy the Impact York. Today we are brought to you today by the wonderful people at Impact Media, who, even though you can't see them, love to bow when I say their name. So take a bow, guys. Great. Amazing radio there. But as we want to get into, of course, we're going to recap the win over the Muskegee Marshals, where our Texas Revolution won 51-32. But I do got a special guest on the line, and I do bring him on. So let that second there. As last time we had him on, he said he was in charge of the halftime show, that he would want this particular guy singing. And without further ado, let's bring on wide receiver Ronnie Cooper Jr. How you doing, Ronnie?
I'm good, man. I'm loving the intro.
Yeah, I tried to get Holy Grail up, which is the song you mentioned then, and there's a reason why Jay-Z is one of the most wealthy guys in the history of the world, and that's because he has the biggest super protection on all of his music. So trying to get a Holy Grail was really, really hard, and apparently our guys couldn't pull it off yet. So without owing a lot of money.
It's all good, man. This is actually probably one of my second favorites, man. This was classic, that's for sure.
Exactly. It's one of my favorites too. So I was like, you know what? Let's try to go with this one. But shout out to Jay-Z and Alicia Keys for making a just absolute beautiful song. Shout out
for
to
sure.
Justin Timberlake and Beyonce for being on Holy Grail, and unfortunately couldn't get you on. So JC, hook us up and give us another version.
Hook us up, man. Hook us up. That's for sure.
But I'll just play in the background while I'm in. So how you been? The last time we had you on was in November, where we were trying to let the fans kind of get to know you a little better. Have they come up to you, trying to get to know you?
Yeah, definitely. Especially, after the game, I've been trying to, connect with the fans, obviously, a little bit more than last year, because, last year I came kind of in the middle of the season. So this year, starting out with the Revs and everything, it was just like, all right, Now, my name's kind of out there a little bit, so let me connect with them a little bit more. So after the game, signing autographs, taking as many pictures as possible, and just getting to know them a little bit better.
Yep, absolutely. And that's good that they're, whether they heard it here or not, that they're at least going out there and they are going to meet you guys. I tell everybody all the time, if you make it down to the Allen Arena or you make it to anywhere where the Revolution are playing after the game, go down there, meet your favorite players, get to know these guys. You guys are all pretty awesome guys.
Of course, man. Well, we got a great group of guys.
Definitely so. The talent is probably at least as deep this year as it was last year. It actually added a few people in the last couple of weeks to try to help, because, the injury bug has hit you guys pretty good.
Yeah, especially with this arena game, man. It's kind of hard. And, pretty inevitable to, stay away from that injury. But, we're trying to maintain as much as possible and keep, everybody healthy at the same time and stuff. So it's going all right so far. Can't complain.
Well, I know you only played a part of the season last year with the team, but what's the real difference between last season and this season for you?
The difference for me, probably, I would say, probably having a lot more veterans that have played the arena game around has helped me a lot more. Like, especially guys like, at my position, like, Clint Solomon, of course, Solo, a.k.a. Superman, shout out to my boy. Just having him, in the receiver corps, And then, you know, it's just kind of crazy, like, working with him because he's played in the arena game for, you know, 6-7 years, almost 8 years, something like that. And, you know, just getting little tips from him along with, you know, with Clark Kent, you know, that quarterback, man. He's, you know, it's just been great being around those, you know, those guys again and just learning as much as possible, you know, in the game and just trying to expand, you know, as a player even better than last year.
And as far as the emotions during a game, kind of walk us through, because I mean it's just like a Tom Hanks movie is the way I described it, playing the game of ball. There's so many emotions involved in the game. Kind of walk us through your emotions during a game.
My emotions are, it starts out on the bus, man. I'm kind of excited getting off the bus, especially like away games, the home games as well. You know, just getting to the stadium and then walking the field before pregame, and you know, just as soon as you get there, you know, I got my Jay-Z in the headphones, and you know, it's just kind of a quiet before the storm kind of thing. And then, you know, once the you know, we go through all of that, getting taped up, and then you know, once we're out there for the national anthem, it's like, all right, it's go time. And then that first kickoff, you know, I usually start off on kickoff return or kickoff, so it's just like, hey, it's here now. It's one of those things. It's kind of like you kind of got to have it, like, balled up, and then as soon as that ball is kicked off, it's like, all right, I can let loose now. You know, it's just one of those things that's strange, but it's I love it, man. Love it.
Now, have you gotten a chance to return a kick this year?
I haven't. Nope. I'll leave that to Frankie Solomon and, you know, Fudge and the rest of those guys back there. But I'm definitely blocking for those guys. I like being in front and kind of taking that first blow to the kickoff team, and you know, leading the way for those guys to run it back.
That's it. I swear I've been poring over the stat sheet all year, and I was like, man, I have not seen an official one that I don't recall you doing. I was making sure I didn't miss something.
No, not yet.
You never know, because especially in the indoor leagues, it's something the pro leagues are going to have to start working on with that new rule change. But
yeah,
in the indoor league, they don't just kick it over your head all the time. Sometimes they do those little short ones. One could come right at you.
Yep, those squib kicks. Well, you know, being on that front line, you always got to be ready for those. And we prepare for stuff like that. So, you know, when your number's called, you just got to be ready.
Exactly. And you kind of hit on it a little bit before, but what are your preparations for a game?
My preparation for the game is just music, of course, eating lots of fruit, stretching, you know, get a good stretch, and just kind of getting my mind, like, kind of visualizing myself making those big plays and, you know, making plays, period, just visualizing, you know, every aspect of the game as far as the play calling, as far as looking the ball in, you know, to the last 6 inches, which is, you know, one of the most important as a receiver, you know, securing the catch, turning up field, and trying to score as many times as possible, you know, as the ball, you know, comes to your hand. So, I mean, like they say, especially, you know, I've heard Solo say this many times, hey, any chance we get, we're trying to score.
Exactly. And we know what coaches speak is for this particular next one, but as far as game during a game, the adjustments that you make, are you doing that per play? You know, as though best example I can think of is either Peyton Manning, or if you go to baseball, Greg Maddux would change his strategy per pitch. Is there adjustments that you make, or, you know, based off something you see, or do you try to stick to the game plan and make them adjust to you?
No, you definitely always have to adjust, and even if it's something little, because I know, like, I'll come back to the huddle and I'll tell Kent, hey, man, you know, this DB, he's playing off, you know, inside a little bit. So, you know, let's do something here. Let's do something there, you know. And it's kind of, I wouldn't say every play, but almost every play we're coming back and we're talking about something. Or definitely almost every series we're talking about something that the defense is doing. That's kind of how you have to be, you know, along the, in order to be on the same page with the quarterback and, you know, the rest of the offense.
So, in a way, it turns all you guys into a team full of coaches as well on the field.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, that's definitely something I noticed with the Georgia State team this year. another team we cover here at Impact Media, is that a lot of the players turn into coaches on the field, where it makes the coach's job that much easier because they don't have to walk mm-hmm. onto the field or try to relay a message through a headset. They can just look at somebody yep. and they know what's going on.
And see, and that's another reason why I like, you know, having vets, you know, on the field, because it's like they're coaches. It's just like you said, like they – most of the time, if we're messing up, we know exactly what we need to do to fix it before a coach even says it, you know, and which is why, you know, I'm glad to be around a group, pretty good group of guys, especially full of vets as well.
And what would you say is the big difference, either from a team aspect or you personally or both, in the first time you guys played against the Mesquite Marshals 2 weeks ago and then played against them this past?
The first time we played them, I think that was the second game we played. So just getting those, yeah. you know, those early, you know, season jitters out, and you know, just kind of playing. Even though most of us, especially on the offensive side of the ball, we all have played together, you know, for like you know a decent amount of time. But for the most part, just getting that chemistry down that you need, you know, that grows throughout the season. It kind of came a little bit quicker than usual, but it obviously wasn't there after the second game. But this last game that we just played against them, you could tell we were clicking a lot more than that first game we played them.
And do you feel like maybe because of the injuries and some of the new people and kind of the revolving door here lately with a couple different players, you guys are finally, you know, starting to put it all on the same page?
Yes, definitely. I mean, like you said, the revolving doors, there's guys – you know, we have new faces in practice. There's guys ready to step up, and coach says it all the time. Hey, when your number's called, you got to be there. You know, to make the play, and you got to be accountable. So we're looking at some guys. You know, we know is going to be around for a long time. Some guys aren't. You know, so we just got to kind of just roll with the punches, kind of thing. You know.
Exactly. Now, just take a quick break from all the football talk there, and of course, we're on with Ronnie Cooper Jr., the wide receiver for the Texas Revolution. Last time we had you on, you were at the Kansas City parade for the Kansas City Royals.
Yep.
And that's we were talking about I'd went to the Braves when I was a little kid. You went to the Kansas City one. Even though you're not a Kansas City fan, we'll get into what you are a fan of in a minute. You know, for those who weren't listening back then or those who just forgot and – by all means, I will encourage them to go re-download that podcast and listen to it. But, you know, what is it like going to a championship parade like that?
Oh, man, that was definitely a moment that you wouldn't want to miss, especially if you, for like a person that was born and raised in Kansas, man. Like a lot of people talked about when they went in 1985, and it was just, you know, something that was just like once in a lifetime, like, man. Like, they never forget it. Like, they tell their grandkids. They got, you know, souvenirs to show their grandkids, stuff like that. And it was just one of those things where it's, like, felt like everyone in, I would say, the state of Kansas was out there, man. It was, like, shoulder to shoulder. It was just a great atmosphere, man. And even though I'm not a Royals fan like that, but it was just good to be in an atmosphere like that. Because, I mean, and, you know, me being a Yankees fan, I've been to – a New York Yankees parade like that when we won after the Twin Towers was down and stuff. But just being out there, it was definitely something that I'm glad I didn't miss.
Well, of course, you are a Yankees fan just like myself. I'm also a Mets fan, and I'm happy to report that as of a few minutes ago, because I made sure it was playing in the background here, my New York Mets were able to hang a loss on the Kansas City Royals and help both of our Yankees as far as going to the World Series this year. So I'm good with the Subway Series.
Oh, I'm definitely good with that. I remember when the last time it happened, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely was. But I wanted to happily report that. No, but you mentioned something as far as you know, going to those parades and those type of events and hanging with that kind of atmosphere. It goes back to mm-hmm. something I said on a show a couple weeks ago where winners hang with winners. And, you know, it's one of those, like I tell people, if you want to be a baseball player, then you hang out near a baseball diamond. If you're going to be a garbage man, then you try to get a garbage route where you can learn how to do that. It's like whatever you're wanting mm-hmm. to do, you need to try to find the best in that. You know, if you want to be the best wide receiver, then you go train against some of the toughest DBs. You go train with, you know, the Quentin Solomons of the world and the Randy Mosses and those, so that it's, you try to, you know, better yourself the whole time. And I definitely think you guys do that, because if you guys practice against each other, that's probably the toughest thing you guys do all week.
Oh, yeah, of course. And well, we say it all the time in practice. Even, you know, my other receiver, you know, shout out my boy Blint, man. And he's another veteran, man. He say all the time, hey, he tells the DBs, hey, you guys are going to go against the best receivers in the league, and we're going to go against the best DBs. So, you know, when we get out there in game time, it's like, all right, this is easier than practice. You know what I mean? So it should be even easier. You know what I mean? So it's just exactly. one of those things that we definitely focus on in practice, is giving, you know, the DBs, you know, that look as far as going hard, you know, every play, because in the game we know that the other team is going to try to bring it, you know?
Exactly. Now, I do have to ask you this question, because it's the first thing that would pop in my head if I caught a pass in practice. Who are you least looking forward to getting hit by? DeMario Dixon, Taylor McCullough, or Frankie Solomon Jr.? Which one of those three are you least looking forward to getting hit by?
I'd have to say Taylor McCullough, even though we don't hit much in practice, but
right.
I've seen some of the hits that he's put on, you know, different opponents, and it's like, man, him and DeMar, you know, Frankie's a little bit smaller, but he definitely, you know, packs a big punch as well. But Taylor McCullough, I have to say he'd be my first choice to not get hit by.
Yeah, it's no disrespect to anybody else on the team.
Yeah, and he put on a little bit of weight from last year, so he's definitely laying the hat this year. That's for sure.
Well, and, you know, a lot of your teammates have the nicknames. Obviously, obviously Frankie's Captain America. Let's see, Clinton Solomon is Superman. I don't have my list in front of me. Somebody.
Fudge is Batman.
Right. And then I think Gordon is Iron Man.
Iron Man, yep.
So I got Taylor as the Hulk. So does that make you the Flash?
I wouldn't say I'm the Flash. I would say I'm more like...
As long as you don't say Aquaman, I think we're good.
No. not Aquaman.
We can't have talking to fish in the middle of the game.
I'd say I'm more like Robin, man.
Right.
You know, I kind of, you know, especially with, you know, Fudge being Batman, and even though I'm not a running back, you know, I kind of play that second role, you know what I mean? When Batman's slacking a little bit, I feel like I'm able to pick the whole team up, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And let's see if it's still – oh, they still left it kicked up. So, in honor of that, we
nice,
actually have soundtracks
nice.
This week.
Yeah, I like that.
I played it when Fudge was on, too, and he got a kick out of it. So, now that we have Batman and Robin, we'll make sure to play it every time you guys are on.
Cool. I like that.
Robin. I can go with that. A lot of people always look down on Robin, but I said, if you don't realize, there's a reason, you know, there's a reason Batman always had him. If Batman knew that he couldn't do it all on his own, he knew to trust certain people, and Robin was that guy,
exactly.
And sometimes Batman gets in trouble, he looks at Robin. Robin's like, I get you out of it.
Yep, he's there. He's always there to get him out of it.
Exactly. Before we get into a couple more other questions, I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
Now, this is still rumor because I haven't been able to pinpoint it, but I've seen it on a handful of pretty credible places, and it was also mentioned by the Mesquite Marshals play-by-play guys. Which one of your teammates was the stunt double for The Rock in the game plan?
We're actually talking about that in practice today. I'm gonna have to say, my boy Kent, the quarterback, man. He was. I guess I would say, his backup and playing quarterback in that movie.
I heard that, and I listened to Sonny's call live over the, you know, for the game, and then I was watching the Mesquite Marshals replay earlier today to see if they said something that I missed or something like that. I always try to watch things two or three times. And they mentioned that. And I just had to pause it, and I just started looking around, and I said, what? I start looking this up. I find it on five or six different pages, and I went, I wonder if anybody else knows about this.
And it's so funny because literally none of us knew about it. So when he came to practice today, we were like, hey, why didn't you tell us? You know what I mean? That's kind of a big deal. And he was just saying, you know, he had, The Rock, I think he had sprained his Achilles or something like that. So he literally had to do most of the quarterback, you know, stuff in that movie, which is pretty cool, man.
Then I think either next time he scores a touchdown or makes a big play, you need to, like, ask the defender, can you smell what the Kemp's cooking?
I just wait, man. I'm going to tell him that to do the rock bottom or the people's elbow or something to celebrate after he scored.
Right. Especially with you guys being superheroes. I need to tell Clinton Sullivan this, but being Superman, he needs to, like, jump up on the dashboards like he's flying.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can do the Robin poses and the Batman poses and all those. I mean, there's so many more superhero things you guys could do.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, when it comes time to celebrate, is there a particular thing you like to do, or you just do what's off the top of your head, or do you just like to hand the ball back and do it again?
Man, I'm more of the hand the ball back, but, you know, I feel like I got to start celebrating. Now I see, you know, Fudge, he's pulling out these dope celebrations and stuff, so I might try to you know, broaden my horizons a little bit. I can give the crowd something to talk about.
Exactly. We'll have to get with Fudge about you guys doing a Batman and Robin thing, but I'll send you a bunch of videos of Robin's related poses and attacks or something.
Definitely.
See, we'll get into a couple fan questions before we get back into the ones I had.
Okay.
A couple fans wanted to know what your favorite type of candy was.
I'm a Snickers kind of guy, man. I've always liked Snickers and Reese's probably. Yeah, that's probably my two favorites.
I can definitely get behind those. I mean, Snickers is, if you're stuck in an airport or stuck somewhere where you can't eat, it's a good way to stay from starving.
Exactly.
What do you think it is? What do you think in a Snickers makes it where you're not so hungry? I've always tried to figure out what ingredient it is that takes away the hunger.
I would probably say the peanuts, man.
That's what I would think.
But, you know, yeah. I mean, not sure why that, but it feels like the best answer.
Well, the only way I come up with that was that they're protein, where the nougat and the caramel and the chocolate are all energy, quick energy as far as the sugar and caffeine in them. So, that's the only thing I could come up with.
Hey, that's a great way, especially when you break it down like that.
And then you can't go wrong with a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's the simplest thing you could ever put together, and yet it's the best.
Mm-hmm. Best.
Let's see. One fan wanted to know, what's it like going over the dashboards? Because, like we said earlier, you like to take a handful of pretty good spills there as you're making plays.
It's not fun. I'll say that. But at the time, you know, since your adrenaline is pumping, you really don't think about it too much. I almost went over last game, and I kind of caught myself and you know, I was able to bring myself back over before I actually went over. But I've been over quite a few times, and, you know, you don't feel it until that next day. You know, usually you hit the ground and you pop up, hop back over, and, you know, you're ready to go to the next play, unless you score, which that always makes it feel a lot better. But as far as, you know, feeling it, you definitely will feel it that the next day. Be a little sore here.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And trust me, I grew up a pro wrestling and hockey fan along with football and all the other sports. So it's definitely not fun getting slammed into the side of a wall.
Yeah, exactly. And we always say those walls haven't taken any L's. I mean, they haven't lost the battle yet.
Yeah, they're part of Team Gravity, and Gravity never loses.
Exactly. Never loses, exactly.
Now, the next fan question actually was something I was going to ask you as well. There was a pretty high-profile guy that happened to be at the game. I'm sure you guys got talking about it. What was it like having Deion Sanders in the crowd?
Oh, man, that was pretty crazy. Definitely a shocker. And actually, at the game, I thought he was there for the Mesquite Marshals, but then come to find out, he actually, one of our O-line coach, Big Red, he coaches – with him and, you know, Deion's little camp, the Prime U and stuff. So that was pretty cool. And after I scored my first down, I kind of, you know, just looked at him and hollered at him. I was like, you know, hey, I'm trying to get like you, Tom. So it was pretty cool. You know, he gave me the nod and, you know, and a cool salute, man. So I was like, yeah, man, it's pretty cool to have, you know, a Hall of Famer like him just, you know, watching us, which, I mean, that's all it takes. We want one set of eyes like his and then to make that call, and you never know what could happen from there.
Exactly. You never know. Even if it's not, you know, him directly, he could be talking to Urban somewhere, and Urban go,
exactly.
Yeah, man, all that team needs is they just need a good wide receiver. And he just go, well, I got my eyes on a couple of them in Texas, man. You got to see them. I definitely thought that was cool. First, I thought it was just a guy that looked like him. And then I started to recognize some of the other guys around him as his friends that always go places with him because I saw him. I didn't meet him, but I saw him in Atlanta at a distance, and the same people were there. And I was like, yep, that's him.
Yeah. It was pretty cool to look up and you see a guy like him, man. It's always a good feeling.
Definitely so. Now, last time you were on, of course, you said that typically you use physicality to get open, and that was the major part of your game. But this year, you wanted to use speed more than muscle this year. Have you been able to do that?
Yep. I have actually, man. The last two games, you know, Kenneth found me on two deep balls, which last year, and maybe because I got there, you know, kind of late in the season, we didn't really get a good chance to work on it. But I'm kind of adding the deep ball to my repertoire this year, and it's working pretty good. Actually, my two touchdowns from last game was a fade ball, you know, on the wall, and then a post down the middle, and it feels good to add that as long as. You know, as well as coming across the middle and running those slants, you know, the physical route. So, if, you know, for my quarterback to trust me going deep, man, it's a good feeling.
Exactly. And it seems like at least in the last two games, you've really gotten your feet under you as you've been able to pick up two touchdowns in both games. You had three catches for 60 yards against Dodge City, and you had four catches for 45 yards just this weekend against Mesquite. Are you really getting your feet under you, or is it just Kent's realizing that you're getting distance on people?
No, I think it's some of both, man. And especially when you're out there with, you know, a guy like, you know, Tavares Williams and Blint, and, you know, Kent is just kind of like a kid in the candy store. He literally can go to – he knows he can go to any one of us at any given time, and, you know, we'll be able to come up with that play that he needs. So it's just a matter of time, like spreading the ball out, you know, and when, like I said before, when your number's called, you know, be there to make that play for not just Kent, but, you know, the whole team.
Oh, exactly. And I've kind of likened the way Texas is right now, especially being so deep at wide receiver, to another team we cover here, the Jacksonville Jaguars, where Blake Bortles at any time can look in any direction and see somebody that can outrun somebody or somebody that can outwork somebody for a ball. So
exactly.
Definitely you guys are kind of the, in a way, the Jacksonville, even though I think Kent's a little better than Bortles, but I won't say that too loud around here. But, it's got to be nice for him to drop back and know that he can hand it or toss it to either running back, or he's got a plethora of options across the field.
Yeah, definitely. And we all know that on the offense, man. That's what we tell our line, man. You give them a little bit of time, man, and we're liable to get off the field any play.
Absolutely. And, of course, you guys have the game coming up this weekend.
In Wichita, Kansas.
My screen goes blank here. You guys are getting Wichita Force on Saturday. Is that game in Wichita?
Yes, it's in Wichita. So I think we're going to leave Friday night and get down there. Try to go down there and come back with a W. That's the goal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wichita, to be nicknamed the Force, I believe, is a very fitting name because they always are a force to reckon with. But at the same time, there is a revolution going in Texas, and you guys definitely lead in that. So this is always a fun matchup for me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Same here, especially as I know some of the guys on that team. You know, that I play college ball against and stuff. So it's always good playing them. When they came to us last year, and I think we kind of squashed their hopes of making it to the playoffs. So I know it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a revenge game for them. And, you know, for us, we just got to go out there and play our game, do what we do so we can, you know, secure that win.
Absolutely. Of course, now you guys are 3-1. You're actually technically, because of the tiebreaker with the Gladiators, you guys are in third place in the Southern Division. But at 3-1, you're only a half game behind Dodge City. So, I mean, right there in it. By far, the season just started, and maybe I'm a little biased, but I feel like we have the upside.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, last question. It's the one that somehow it materialized. I think it was a fan question from the start of this season back in January, and somehow it's taken off, so I just keep asking it. It is, if you won the lottery, besides obviously the houses, the cars, stuff for, you know, the stuff we all would do to start with, what would you just blow a big chunk of money on?
Honestly, I probably would blow a chunk of money on a field in my backyard. I would like to have a full football field in my backyard, just to train God, different guys, and, you know, to train myself. I go to the field, you know, invite a quarterback over, and we don't even have to find a football field to go to. We just go straight in my backyard. That'd be the most ideal thing to me.
See, exactly. I've always told my wife that I always wanted to build a baseball and a football field in our backyard, so that when our kids grow up, if they play those sports or if they just want friends to come over, they have somewhere to play and they don't have
to
draw up lines or pull trash cans over or worry about running into a tree. Definitely so. And, of course, if you did win the lottery and build a field like that, you would have to build a small little cabin for me to stay in, because I would just come hang out there all the time.
Oh, of course, man. Well, most definitely. You know, any time. You got it. If I got it, you got it.
Yeah, I dodged the bullet last week as the lottery in Georgia got up pretty high, and I bought a lottery ticket, and I just told last week's guest. It was a couple weeks ago. I may have told Darius that talking about if we won the lottery, we'd take a cruise around the world. And I said, man, if I won, man, you know what? We'll all won. And then I bought a lottery ticket, and the whole time I'm sitting there looking at it like, are we about to go on a little cruise? And unfortunately, I didn't even come close. So I didn't have to worry about it. But I was
your phone would have been ringing off the hook from him. He would have been like, hey, I'm waiting for my plane ticket.
Yeah. You're probably like, when are we going? After the championship is when we're going.
Yep.
And let me pull up that last fan question. I told you right before we came on, right before I got you on the line there. Let's see. Oh, here it is. And you might actually recognize which fan is asking this question. But they want to know about the evolution of your nickname to Pylon.
Oh, man.
Any idea who that might be?
Right, so, yeah, probably Darius Fudge, man. Probably, man. And which is why I call him Batman, man. He's funny. Nah, he's... You know, he kind of started it because, you know, especially in camp, you know, he would always say, hey Coop, you're a possession receiver. Anytime we get a, you know, we need a first down, we know we coming to Coop. And then, you know, out of nowhere, I just started, like I was saying, what I've been working on, started going deep. And then, you know, he just kind of switched to, oh, you pylon now. So it's like now, so like after I scored last game, hey, man, JV was like, pylon. So it's like, oh man, here we go. Now I got another nickname. So it's pretty funny, man. And he definitely keeps all of us rolling.
Oh yeah, definitely so. And he actually chimed. He sent me. I had a small conversation with him right before the show. He took a break from tax season to make sure to do that and send me that. So as I did last week, you guys. I still need your taxes done. Of course, you got a handful of days left, and if you can find Darius, I'm sure he will happily do them for you. And then if you can make it to Wichita to watch the game to support the team, definitely do that. If you can't, Eversport.tv always has the call. With it being an away game, I'm not sure if Sonny will be doing the call, but if you want Sonny's call, you can tune in to I got all his links up and everything anyway, but I guess that's going to do it.
That was good,
Ronnie,
man.
I think I officially have asked you every question that was asked of me, because there's been a few times where fans are like, hey, you didn't ask my question. It just sometimes it gets buried on the sheets. But I think we got them all.
Awesome.
So I will, and appreciate you calling in. And as I've promised the fans and promised everybody we've had on this year, we will definitely try to get you back before the end of the season, just kind of see how things are going, and hopefully talk about this championship playoff push.
Sounds good, man. Hey, really appreciate you having me again, man. Always a pleasure. Anytime.
Hey, you're welcome back anytime, and it's a pleasure having you on. So have a great rest of your night, and we'll see you on later down the road.
All right, then, bud. Appreciate it. God bless.
And, of course, that was wide receiver Ronnie Cooper Jr., who he's got to be one of my favorite guests, too. I like all these guys, but it's just so much fun to talk to. I've talked to him off the air probably twice as much as I have on the air. Just getting to know these guys. You know, definitely after games, go down and say hello to them. The good thing is we're going to play Mesquite more times this year. Mesquite's only a 20, 30-minute drive from the Allen area. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's all encompassed anyway. But make sure to go check out everybody, especially say hello to Darius and Ronnie and all the rest of the guys. And what about that fun fact, the one about Robert Kent that surfaced, that he was the rock star double in the game plan. Wow, if you haven't seen the game plan, go see that. That's my video of the day. I guess I'll start doing that. Of course, there was some new personnel in the last couple of weeks I want to tell you about. Jarrell Norton, who I believe can play wide receiver and defensive back, and Brandon Johnson, who I believe is a defensive back. Just the injury bug has just crushed us sometimes, especially a couple games ago. So it's good to get some other people back in on there. And the importance of health, getting everybody healthy. Not only is it depth, but it's more available talent. It gives the options to run different looks, and it makes this team a lot harder to beat. And at no point are they ever a walk in the park. Absolutely. I would be scared to be one of these other teams to play against the Revolution. But then again, maybe I'm a little biased. The game coming up Saturday at 8 p.m. I believe it was 8. Did it say 8? Yeah, Saturday at 8. That may actually be probably 7. It's 8 o'clock Standard Time for some reason. But 7 o'clock, you can watch it on Eversport.tv. And, of course, they're 3-1 now after the 51-2 win over the Marshals. So, take on the Force, and we're going to make sure that they're nothing but a little breeze in the wind there. But, thanks to my guest, Ronnie Cooper Jr., we'll see you guys next time on Revolution Zone. Hands up, go Revs. Standing on the edge of a revolution.